This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Yeah, here in Professional Voice Guy Talk About That, just as a reminder, if you ever miss our live show, we are on all the streaming platforms. And I do show notes every day, and I link up every article or every tweet, everything that we talk about. I try to get it all linked up there so you can see what's going on. And I will always, you know, if we have guests and stuff, and then tag that. So you can find us on the platforms. If you go to kykn.com under podcast tab, you'll find us there. Still haven't figured out what's going on with our X account. I have no idea. So we're not out on X.
Well, it's just a bad X at this point. Come on.
I just don't know. And I had another one of my personal accounts get flagged and banned as well. And I'm like, because I have a couple. So I don't know what the deal is. But you can find us on Facebook. We're out on Instagram. I've been playing around with, you know, AI and stuff sometimes to do, you can always tell it's AI, to do like graphics for the day based on my stuff. And I don't know, AI, it always, each one, you and I look a little different or a little weirder in each one.
Well, so it's like mimicking real life. Come on.
Kind of.
Well, I always just sit there and I'm kind of going, it's interesting because since Elon bought Twitter and it became X, it was the focal point of, you know, oh, it's going to be the you know, wild, wild west, and there's going to be no regulations and people can do whatever. And yet that's the one where we get flagged and removed from. And yet Facebook, Meta, Instagram, all that stuff, it's still like, nope, no problem with what you're posting there.
Yeah. And I, literally with the X account, I was just sharing podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really engage much out there with the KYKN account. So anyway, I don't know, but we are out on Insta. We are on Facebook. Of course, we're on, I stream it on Spotify. You can find us on Spotify, iHeart, whatever.
Well, and we're not alone, because if you go to the KYKN in the podcast tab, you can find Rural Matters. You can find the Hope Dealer, which is a must-listen radio. If you have not had a chance, listen to the Hope Dealer. It is very inspirational and sombering at the same time at points.
The last two episodes were amazing. Matt had his guest on who there was a two-parter, and I think the second part aired this Sunday. But yeah, those always drop pretty much right on Sunday afternoon. They'll pop up on podcast.
And then as we get moving into the month of September and October, we will also have our high school football broadcast will be on there. So if you know somebody playing in a game that we are covering, you'll be able to listen to the podcast after the fact and hear the highlights of your high school football player.
Ooh, local. Lots of local voices. That's very cool. Well, this isn't necessarily local, but this is kind of blowing up. It's next door neighbor local. Mm-hmm. There's a coffee shop in Teton County in Idaho that has gone mega viral, and not for a good reason. I'm over at Not the Bee. It's been all over X. Idaho cafe owner kicks out pro-lifers and compares them to the KKK. This guy made a mistake. This might be huge. He's kind of getting his butt handed to him all over social media. He has closed all his social accounts. He's closed his website. Basically, Kristen Hawkins, if you're not familiar with her, she's a very active pro-life activist. Not the person you want to do this to, because she has a voice and she uses it. Now, again, this is not a First Amendment issue. He's not government. He has a right to not serve people that he doesn't want to serve. He doesn't have to bake the cake, so to speak. But the way he handled it, he compared this pro-life group who were just having coffee. They were not having an official meeting. They were having coffee. I've done it a million times in local coffee shops. You go in with friends and you meet and you talk about things. So clearly this guy was eavesdropping on them, which is not cool. And he didn't like what they were talking about. So they had paid for their stuff and they were enjoying their apparently good food there and good coffee. And he kicked them out. And they did leave, which they should. Yep. You don't want to, you know. But comparing them to the KKK was just stupid. And apparently this guy is a Minnesota liberal, transplanted himself over to Idaho, brought his crappy politics with him, has been working very, very hard. Idaho has Proposition 1 on the ballot in November, which is a horrific abortion up to 9 months. I mean, it's terrible. It's awful. And this guy's been doing everything he can to get politicians in there that will bring pro-choice to the women of Idaho, and working very hard. So this is not a good guy. He looked really stupid in what he was saying. He was shaking. He was clearly all upset. again, he has the right to do this, but now he's kind of reaping the whirlwind on this.
Yeah, you have the right, but you also have the right to the consequences that were the actions.
Yeah.
And I start with the simple thing of you're in Idaho, read the room. Would that be?
Yeah. Parts of Idaho are a little left.
Well, and that's okay, but at the same time, the vast majority of Idaho is not. And you can be a little left, but you have to kind of understand where the line needs to be drawn when it comes to the business perspective.
Right.
And okay, well, he did what he did. He's gonna suffer whatever consequences come his way. But I just sit here and go, the underlying issue, he came from Minnesota, and he's trying to turn Idaho into what, Minnesota Junior?
Yeah, I know. I know that's what, and I really, it's unfortunate because everybody who relocates to Idaho gets kind of tagged because they think native and, you know, firstborns or whatever, locals think that everyone's like this idiot, and they're not, because a lot of people coming over are very strong conservatives who come from red states, and they're very strong conservatives, and there needs to be an allyship and working together. It's people like this idiot who come over there, and it's like, you left Minnesota because you didn't like what was happening there, so you bring your crappy politics to a red state and try to turn it, like you said, into Minnesota. And again, he's right over the border. It's in eastern, it's right on the, hence it's called Whiteaho. And he also runs a property management company at Jackson Hole. So it's a lot of moneyed, rich moneyed liberals that move over to these places. And then they try to turn it into the crap hole that they left. And everybody's just stay in your crap hole.
Well, and if it's my understanding, he actually, his residence is in Wyoming.
Yeah.
So a Minnesota transplant living in Wyoming is trying to change policy in Idaho.
Yeah, I'm a little unclear if he moved over the line to Teton County. I'm not sure. Bottom line is, though, I appreciate her putting this out. I want to know, business owners, because I have a choice with my money on where I want to go. And if I've got a clown like this who has a big sign, and before the website was came down, there were a lot of people were grabbing screenshots out of it. A big sign that says "Gather in, you know, rainbow colors." So some gatherings are okay. Some political organizations are okay. Some ideologies are okay, but not everything. Again, clarifying, totally, he has the right to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this
wasn't a good business decision. But,
well, I sit here and go, and it sounds like it wasn't even a gathering. An organized gathering. It was a conversation. So virtually he's sitting here saying, you can only have these kinds of conversations in my building.
Meanwhile, I saw another. He had that everyone's welcome here. You know, the tolerant crowd, the kind one, the people that always say they're kind as they tell you to go to hell. Yeah. That crowd.
Well, I always look at it. If I see signs like that, I'm passing by and moving on to the next place. It was kind of like a sign in the window a few years ago that said, you know, must show proof of vaccination to come in the building. And I'm like, no, money can go different places. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, you know, and again, this, it's just, he screwed up. Remember that line in, what was it, Pretty Woman? It's like, you made a mistake, a big mistake, huge, huge. And I really kind of, what a chicken. He's not defending himself. He just went completely radio silent on everything. So he tucked tail and ran. He doesn't want to face it. Stand up for your beliefs, man. If you firmly believe stuff like this, back it up. Get out there and fight for it. But he just turned tail and ran.
Well, and that's the problem. It's how deep, you know, we see these people out in the streets. They scream their ideology. They want to bully you. But the moment there's any pushback on it, they turn tail and run. So their convictions aren't that strong as long as they're surrounded by people that agree with their convictions.
Right. Exactly. And I guess on like Yelp and Google reviews, they're getting, I don't know how I feel about that, because I honestly, if you don't have a personal experience there to go out there and I don't know. That kind of just rubs me the wrong way. If you're like, you know, from West Covina, California, and you're commenting on it and you've never been there, and it's, you know, owners are very rude and don't deserve to be part, blah, blah, blah. I just don't know.
See, I am not a big fan of the Yelp reviews, the Google reviews, in attacking a business for any reason through those, unless you have had a personal experience. I have no problem with somebody who says, I walked into this place and they kicked me out because I was wearing a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
You know, if that's your thing, okay, that's great. But to be like, oh, I can't believe they have this belief and this and that, I'm giving them one star. It's like, you know nothing about them. And all you're doing is creating virtually paperwork, because they'll be able to dispute it. They'll be able to have it removed.
Right.
And all you're doing is trying to bad talk a business without the personal experience. And that's where, with those review type forums, I am like, if you haven't been there, don't chime in on those. There's plenty of other places to state your opinion.
Yeah. And you know, your money walks. I mean, that really is becoming a mob, and that's an online mob, and we don't like it when it's done to us. Again, I think I don't know that the business survives this, the property management. I don't know that that property management business survives it. Things like this always blow over, but he's shown everybody who he is. And it's like when they tell you who they are, okay, you're not getting any of my money if I'm over in that direction, and I drive east a lot. I will never darken that door. And again, there's always signs gather in rainbow letters, the stupid, you know, we believe science is real and that crap on their front lawn. You're telling me everything I need to know about you. You're not getting my money.
Yeah. And that's the thing is you don't know what's going to happen to the business long term. No. I can't imagine that there's going to be a lot of locals excited to go in, especially when it's nothing but a pro-life group you're booting out of your establishment. That word is going to spread like wildfire. So all of a sudden, you're hoping that maybe there's enough lefty transplants coming through the area to keep you going? I don't know.
I don't know. And I know the bottom line is red states, you need to make your states as hardened and as uncomfortable for these people as possible. They should not feel comfortable to do what this guy is doing in a red state. That's the only way to keep them out. Once they're in, as Oregon knows, they're just in, and they get in, and they're like pests, termites. They infest everything.
Well, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, we've talked about it a number of times. The former Washington state governor who sent Washington down the highway to hell, the moment that he, you know, didn't run for re-election, he packed his bags and moved over to Boise. So you're sitting here going, what is it about a red state that's either one so appealing that you're moving to it once you're no longer a leftist governor? Or two, is your ultimate plan to try and, you know, blue in Idaho?
Yeah, the same people that scream and yell, stop pushing your values and your opinions on us, are doing exactly that everywhere, everywhere they move. So, yeah, you want to make it inhospitable if you want to stay a red state. The other thing, too, comparing this group to the KKK, I mean, what an idiot, first of all. The KKK was Democrats, and the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, spoke up for the KKK. So, okay.
Yeah.
So just a bad move, bad day for this guy. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, and maybe we come back and we talk a little bit about that policy and the fact that a lot of these policies that are being proposed, like an abortion up to 9 months in the state of Idaho, is being driven by out of state people, out of state money. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's been going on with Oregon. And it's that petri dish mentality, and now they're trying it with Idaho. So I think it's worth looking into a little bit. But I suppose we should probably take that commercial break pretty soon.
I think we should. We've gone a little long here. So, we're going to take that break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering and Color Tile of Salem.
So this issue with this coffee shop, it brings up, you know, because if you're a conservative in a blue state, you a lot of times you're in restaurants, you do tend to keep your voice down. Mm-hmm. You don't speak up because basically progressives, communists, whatever, again, Marxists, liberals, always just assume that everybody agrees with them. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's such shock when it's like, wait, what? When somebody actually challenges them on a point of view, they either don't know what to say, they run away, they've never had to defend it with any kind of knowledge, facts, or anything like that. And you brought up, Hunter, during the break, that he probably thought that everybody else in the establishment agreed with him, whether they do or not.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't cross their mind that maybe they're wrong.
Well, or maybe that they have the minority opinion.
Yeah.
I would really assume. So let's say you have a group of 6-8 women that are in there talking about, you know, planning on protesting an abortion clinic or whatever. I don't know what the conversation was, but obviously it was leaning pro-life, and he overheard it and took some offense to it and was bothered by it. And he, I will guarantee, assumed everyone else in that building was overhearing the same conversation and was just as appalled as he was. Even if they either weren't paying attention to another group, they were just enjoying their own time. But that's that mentality. And you can see it when you go around. just this hubris that they believe that they are right 100% of the time, and the vast majority of people, whether they'll admit it or not, are in 100% agreeance with them, and all it takes is someone like him to stand up and become a leader, and they will cheer and rally around him and excruciate and send these women out to where they belong.
But don't push back on me on social media, because I'll take everything down because you're mean. Yeah, it's crazy. And a lot of times, and we've seen this, and I'm in Oregon as well, when you've got ballot measures that are being pushed out there. Look at 114. Look at the inheritance tax. Look at them, you know, the drug one. Look at driver's cards. Although that one was actually got overturned. The will of the people didn't want that. But it's always presented with a very, you know, who could ever be against this kind of ballot title? And then when you dig into the minutiae and the guts of it, it's just they're abominations. And then of course they're sold out there with a lot of misleading and sometimes flat out lies, and that's what's happening in Idaho with the abortion. I mean, basically a lot of that is the wording is so vague that now basically your dental hygienist could perform an abortion, you know. And it's like, is that guy okay with that?
Well, as long as it's an abortion, I think he's good with it. And that's the kicker, is this guy claimed he had a lot to do with Prop 1, which is the legalizing of abortion in Idaho. And you go, okay, wait, but it says you're not even living in Idaho. You run a business in Idaho, but you live across the border in another state. How do we allow so much outside influence into our political process? We talk about Oregon being this petri dish for the rest of the country. I look at it, and if they can get abortion up until birth passed in the state of Idaho, everything else in this nation is free reign. Because if they can get it in Idaho, they're going to get it elsewhere. So that's why there is a group, obviously, of outside of the state of Idaho pushing to get full-term abortion legalized in the state of Idaho.
Right. And we saw that happen in Oregon with the measures that come up. Of course, everybody, it's still in litigation over ballot 114. The ridiculous, it's everything's on hold right now because there are great patriots in the state of Oregon that are fighting it. But you don't want to let it get that far. And all of these things start with petitions. And it's like, so you have to wonder, who are the 120,000, 144,000, whatever, that actually signed? And, you know, you see those men on the streets where they'll like have petitions to stop. We don't want to abort kittens and puppies, and people will sign that. And then, well, you don't want to do the same for children. Oh, no, I can't sign that one. And a lot of times many people don't know anything about it, but they'll sign it. So it's like you have to stop it. The education needs to happen at that level. You don't want to have to even let them get as far as getting on the ballot.
Well, yeah.
Like the IP28. Who signed that thing?
Well, it's just the simple understanding of they're going to come at you and go, you know, we don't want animals to be tortured, and all it takes is your signature. And then they make you feel a little special and this and that. And I'm kind of going, but your signature bears a lot of weight.
Yes, it does.
And it might be time for all of us, of course, you know, this new generation not learning cursive, they probably don't even know what a signature truly is.
Oh, how, yeah.
but I'm just sitting here going, realize the power. Yes, they're telling you your signature can make a huge difference. Your lack of a signature can make an even bigger difference if you're willing to do that.
Exactly. And so you've got a lot of red states, because I think, you know, the damage, they're kind of like, our work here is done in Oregon. So they targeted Colorado. And you look at Colorado now. Colorado used to be a pretty reliable dark purple state, maybe not red, but Colorado has gone crazy.
Yep.
And so they've got their sights on other red states. And of course, a lot of people from Washington and Oregon pop over the border to Idaho. And so the battlefield is in every state. And again, that's why it's imperative to make it as uncomfortable for these ideologies as possible if you want to stay a red state. And Idaho is red on the outside, it's blue under the hood.
Well, I always sit here and I go, we are no longer in a day and age when the only time you needed to get your political knowledge up was coming into election time.
We
are at a point now, and the Democrats have mastered this, is their foot is on the pedal 365 days a year, even if, you know, whether it's in front of you or behind the scenes. And Republicans tend to, you know, we come up to election, there's a big push, and then we kind of take a break and step back. And okay, things are going to be a little normal now for us for a little while. No, the other side is working, and they are making sure that the things they want are coming to fruition, whether it's something the majority wants or not.
Exactly. And they'll skew poll numbers. I mean, they'll lie. There's this great Zuby Music post. I believe that with the right propaganda, you can get at least 50% of the population to be mad at or afraid of anything or anyone. Mm-hmm. That is so true. Probably higher.
I
that
is
what is counted
higher.
On. And that is used again. And propaganda, yes, it comes from both sides. But if you look at you've got races with Democratic Socialists running. What was it? The Hong. The polling shows that she was sure to win and then she ended up losing. But to try to make these people that don't have a lot of support, they inflate it and make it look like you want to get on this. Everybody else likes this person. And it's all propaganda. And so many people fall for it because we don't have a lot of critical thinkers left. And of course, the school systems, the school districts, the public schools are doing everything they can to make sure that we don't get any new ones that are capable of critically thinking.
Well, and I sit here and I go, look at how well the news media takes any event that they can spin their way, whether it's an ICE interaction, whether it's a protest, whether it's a conservative getting out of line. They take that and they apply it to create so much anger and so much frustration that they can kind of recruit new members through what they deem is injustices and emotional. And then guess what? Then they kind of hide what truly comes out the other side after a lot of these events.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll just move on. The narrative shifts and everything's changed in actual facts. It's like what's happening with Fauci and COVID and everything. A lot of people are like, let's just memory all this and move on. Yeah. Can we all just move? No, we can't.
No.
So you need to be aware of it and be alert.
Yeah. No one ever said that you had to get the jab.
Right. No. Or you had to wear a mask. 6 feet? Who said that?
Yeah. When did that ever come out? Those never happened.
I didn't disinvite you.
No one ever said that you couldn't get COVID once you had the jab. That never happened.
It's all so tiring. It's so tiring. And I think that's part of the plan, too, just to wear us out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a break for the news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Well, more Minnesota. Show prep today was interesting. I was like, oh, Minnesota, Idaho, and like Oregon. It was just kind of the same. We'd been kind of rolling along. And this one is interesting, too, because, okay, you know James O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. He originally founded Project Veritas. They kicked him out. It's his own board of directors. So he started OMG, O'Keefe Media Group. And he and journalist Cam Higby were recently in Minnesota, and they were exposing major election vulnerabilities in Minnesota where they let Muslim migrants vote with no ID. So Cam put on a burqa. And went and basically got all of this on camera where that you can vouch for, I think it's up to 8 or 9 people. You just say they're good. You don't, obviously when you're in full burqa, you don't see any faces. So I don't know how you check ID, but they did a lot of the poll workers. They're just kind of like, okay, they're just kind of these dullards sitting there going, yeah, no problem. It's fine. And so the videos are out there. I've seen a lot of them. Well, TikTok just permanently banned him from that. So,
well, we can't have that exposed.
I guess we can't have exposure of fraud. Gosh.
Well, TikTok is kind of run by the Chinese, so I can understand where they would not want that kind of exposure to come out. And I'm kind of going, it's amazing how we keep seeing it in Minnesota, and yet we can't get that investigation going on in Oregon.
I mean, you look at it, Minnesota has been making the news a lot lately. Of course, the Leering centers are there. There's a lot of Leering centers. Is it lost, do you think? I mean, at what point when you've let this ideology, this poisonous ideology invade your state, I don't know, how do you get back to sane, to normie?
Well, unfortunately, it's going to take... ICE intervention, I think, is going to be the biggest thing in that regard, and it's going to be a federal level because that's the other part. It is from the governor on down that the state level, they don't want it fixed. They're in power. They're maintaining power with the help of things like, you know, vouching for somebody to vote.
That it's crazy. And again, pass the SAVE Act. I don't think that's ever going to happen at this point. It's so frustrating. God, and that's Republicans just being do-nothings.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem. Unless they can create enough checks and balances at the federal level to remove the people that aren't eligible and hold states accountable that do, nothing is going to change at a national level. And we have to make it so that people here legally are, you know, citizens are the ones voting, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry that can say, hey, my buddy over here, he says he's 18. Let's let him vote.
I know. And just on its surface, saying it that way, that's absolute lunacy. But we've gotten to a point where is that a racist statement that you just made? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Voter ID is not racist.
It'll be.
I mean, we've all seen the list. You need ID for this, and that's okay. And it's like,
well, you need an ID to go to a government grocery store in New York.
Exactly.
But yet you don't need it to vote in New York. I mean, that's the hypocrisy of it. At what point does someone push back and say, well, I should have a driver's license. They just wouldn't give me one. And it must be a racist thing or a sexist thing or whatever, because gosh darn it, I should just be able to drive.
And again, it's with this constant pushing of these fake narratives and false information that people just gobble up and they just run with it. It's like, it just reminds me again, with the whole Strait of Hormuz thing and that guy asking the woman, do you support the gays of Hormuz versus the straits? And she totally bought it hook, line, and sinker because she didn't think for 2 seconds about what was really going on in the world. There's just so much disengagement.
Well, there's so much disengagement. There's such a lack of, I mean, the Strait of Hormuz is not a sexual orientation. It is a body of water moving through an area. And it's like, but yet the education has faltered so much. It's like my friend who saw the DSA t-shirt. And when he asked, and the response was, well, we need to be more social. Or the man on the street who goes and he asks college students, you know, do you prefer socialism? Or you know, the economy we currently have. And they're like, well, socialism is probably a good thing because we need to help those people. Well, then let's give some of your GPA to the bottom part of your class. And they go, no, I work too hard for that.
Right.
And not understanding that's how socialism works.
See, and the left is running with that message. I mean, they've created the DSA monster within their ranks and they're having to deal with it. But honestly, Republicans really need to be messaging why capitalism is the best system. Flawed though it is, of course it is, and it's not perfect. Why it is the best. Make the case to vote for that, not to just vote against the DSA.
Well, and these are the same people that will kick and scream and assassinate CEOs when they think that they are manipulating and taking advantage and, you know, cheating the system of capitalism.
No, that's, you know, you're talking about the whole Luigi Mangione thing. And these women are still defending him. These women.
Well, and that's the kicker, is that they determined that if someone that they think may be manipulating our capitalist system and taking advantage of it and cheating the system, death is an okay punishment. But yet someone that is cheating our election system, cheating our immigration system, handing it, yeah, I'm going, that's okay. And they're going to defend that person.
Yeah, because that's the oppressed versus oppressor model that seems to come in. And these people, and a lot of these women have no other place to channel their maternal instincts. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show. Anyway, I don't have a TikTok account. I will never get a TikTok account. I get enough distraction just scrolling through my regular social media where you can like go down a Reels rabbit hole. And it's like, oh God, an hour just went by. That was a big waste of time.
Well, and accounts like Lives of TikTok are wonderful in sharing the TikToks that get out there that are worth actually seeing and talking about.
Yeah. And yeah, it is a Chinese app. And we always talk, you know, what Chinese TikTok is very, very vastly different than what the slop that is sort of spoon fed to American and especially American kids. Anyway, so appreciate Higby and those folks going out there and exposing the fraud. Mm-hmm. There's somebody on here saying that the poll workers actually violated Minnesota law too. If you're being vouched for, you still have to provide ID, and they didn't.
Yeah. Well, and I just sit here and I go, you know, every system is going to have bad actors, and the bad actors need the punishment. it's not a system unless policies have created the loopholes that are use it to exploit the system. You know, punish the bad actors, mm-hmm. don't punish everybody, but we also have to hold government accountable to make sure they're not opening the door to bad actors, which is what we have seen in the last few years.
Yeah, and it's our job to hold government accountable, not to look to it to solve all our problems, which far too many are buying into that. We just need to be more social, and the government can do that.
I don't think that works the way they think it works.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But honestly, the right, conservatives need to make a better case for why this is better, and it's not data and pie charts, it's storytelling. Mm-hmm. And we got to up our game on that. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, I file this under, I thought they were already dead. Columbia House is shutting down for good after 71 years. I did not know they were still around.
I had no clue that Columbia House still existed. I'm kind of going, what model do they use? Because they're not giving away CDs for a penny anymore.
And of course, we all know that I got my first CD I ever got was through them, I believe, and it was the Eurythmics.
Well, I'm sitting there going, yeah, once you realized how you could do it, you go ahead and you get set up. You get your 12 CDs for a penny. Buy a couple at full price, and then you shut your account down. You might create a new one with and get another 12 CDs and just kind of rotate through and build your collection.
I probably may still owe money to them. I don't know.
That could be why they're shutting down.
I think that a lot of people, it was like, they're talking, their ads were ubiquitous. They were always on the back of like magazines, mm-hmm. or they were in magazines. It says in recent years, the brand had survived only as a niche online DVD seller with a limited catalog. Okay. It's funny because vinyl is making a comeback. DVDs are making a comeback. CDs are making a comeback, because with streaming digital media, first of all, never buy it because you really don't own it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, the audiophiles who get the really nice, my son has a really nice turntable, and we gave him when we moved our vinyl, because I don't have room for a stereo. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I graduated high school, that's what I got for my graduation gift, was a big rack stereo system that I can still hear the magnetic doors clicking when you open it up. But all that stuff's coming back. So it's actually kind of a little sad, because it was kind of a, I don't know if it was a rite of passage, but I think everybody did this.
Well, yeah, everyone did it. And I'm kind of going, you know, for me, it was the boom box, you know, you had to have your big boom box.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is so tough in today's digital world where, between umpteen different streaming opportunities for video, you have a few different music collections that, you know, Apple Music and the like, Google Music. And I'm going, you just pay the subscription fees and listen, because things come and go. I know there's been movies where I was like, oh, I saw it on such and such platform. I'm like, I'm going to bookmark this. I'll come back and watch it. And I go to look and it's gone.
Yeah.
Because you really don't own a digital copy of anything. You don't even really long-term rent a digital copy of anything.
Exactly. And so I think I bought one, Muriel's Wedding. I think I own Muriel's Wedding because I just love that movie. I don't ever do that anymore. I do just rent it. And I remember I don't remember the name of the company, but that was already removing things and just kind of quietly taking it away. They can just remove it out of your collection that you own. I mean, obviously they can't do that with vinyl. And I have some really, I mean, I had the original Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. A lot of really good albums.
Yeah.
That are now with my son. And so I'm very glad. He didn't want Wham, though.
What?
No. He did not want Wham. Wham is here with me. In fact, I know where it is.
Somebody screwed up on their upbringing. I don't know about that one. But I'm just kind of going. And that's the thing. I still have a CD collection. I've actually still got a DVD collection. They're just kind of stashed away and never used, because most everything is on a streaming platform. But if occasionally at some point, you know, there's an issue, I've got the opportunities to use those things. I still have some cars that have CD players in them.
Both of mine do, mm-hmm. actually. I have a DVD of Blazing Saddles. I don't know if you could even get that anymore. Talk about politically incorrect, brilliant, hilarious, funniest. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that was the other thing about DVDs is a lot of them had the outtakes and those other things that you cannot get through any streaming services.
Exactly.
So you got to see some of that fun stuff that is kind of kept off on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, it's nice to have those OG original. And of course, when my son was coming up, it was all VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. And we finally offloaded them. I do, because I was converting VHS and home video to digital. I got the whole thing to do it. But I ended up getting rid of, we had so much Disney and oh my gosh, so much stuff.
Yeah, I've never converted them. I've taken home videos and converted them to digital and put them on an external hard drive. Because that was a logical thing to do because, you know, especially the 9mm start to fade away. You know, the other one is when I was in my early 20s, Tower Records was like, it was two floors of a mall kind of a thing. And to see that all disappear, to see Sam Goody's disappearing, to see all those things, to see, you know, growing up, staple Blockbuster Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
Yep. And Hollywood Video's no more. There's only one Blockbuster left in the nation, and that's in Oregon.
In Bend, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of going, it's those things that we all utilized to actually own the music, the movies we were watching. And now that has all gone so far away that you have to kind of search and find and maybe order online any of that stuff.
Didn't somebody say you will own nothing and you'll be happy? And it's been slowly, slowly, slowly. And that's why I see there is a trend out there. People that are starting to realize that the older technology, the old analog, back when we had the monoculture and y'all watched the same Miami Vice episode on a Friday night and talked about it at work on Monday, where we had so much in common. I mean, I think people are really kind of longing for that, where you're not having to download. I don't want to scan a QR code to see a menu in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's all that you need an app for that. Ugh.
Yeah, my wife is a caretaker for elderly people, and so many of them at best have a flip phone. They're not interested in the app technology. They're not interested in all this stuff. And yet, even through our government agency, Social Security and stuff, it's 99% of the stuff you have to do online or on an app. And they're like, I'm 90 years old. Why do I want to learn how to do this for the remainder of my life?
Exactly. And I'm kind of with the 99-year-old mm-hmm. on a lot of that. And I'm, you know, a little closer to 99 than you are. But and you know, you need an app for that. Oh, give us your information. I need your email. I need your phone number. I need you to sign up for all. It's like, no. But then good luck trying to just call someone, to just make a phone call to handle that. The mustache is old school that way. Well, I'm just going to call them. Okay, good luck. You're in like phone tree hell forever.
Well, with automated things, I had to call a bank about something going on, and I get an automated message, and it took me calling three times before it could register what I was trying to say. It's like, tell me what it is you're needing. This. Tell me what it is you're needing. This. Tell me what it is you're needing. I'm going, you're going to make me pull my hair out because it's all automated. You have, you know, all the gatekeepers of automation and AI keeping you from getting to where you need. So, yeah, you could spend hours on the phone just to talk to a real person.
And that's why those memes of people, you know, get me a human, where they're just screaming by the time you finally are like, just get me a human.
Well, and the irony of all of this is once you get past all the automation, you're not likely to be talking to someone local. They're at a call center in Texas. They might even be in a call center in India.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going, how can you help me from across the world?
Yeah. Our cell phone company is Pure Talk, and they have US based customer service, and it makes a difference.
Yep.
It really does.
I saw a thing from somebody high up in one of the automated car businesses, the automated taxi mentality. And he kind of made a big statement about he sees the future. Very few people are going to own a car. They're all just going to Uber and Lyft and, you know, use these automated services to get around. And I'm kind of going, you have high expectations for what you're pushing, because I don't see Americans en masse giving up the ability to do what they're going to do.
Well, because there comes freedom with a car. You can tow a boat and go boating. You can tow a trailer. You can do whatever you want. You can get in it whenever you want. But I did notice a trend recently over the past maybe 15, 20 years. When I turned 16, of course, I didn't get my driver's license at 16 because I had an accident while I was taking my driving test, which is another story. But everybody, you got this day. It was like you had your permit at 15. You got your license. You were driving.
It was a rite of passage.
And it's not anymore. Well, in fact, a lot of kids are not even getting their licenses.
We have given up on that so much. I have my kids know friends that literally didn't go to get their permit to start practicing to drive till they were 20 years old. We have very much given away those rite of passages. Driver's license at 16, being able to buy certain things at 18, and then at 21. And you can almost see not having those rite of passages for these kids is creating more immature children into their 20s.
I would say even later than that. In many cases, there isn't that responsibility. And then, you know, when it started, well, you can keep your kid on your insurance until they're 26. So it prolongs it even more. I was 18 when I moved out and moved across the country. Actually, I moved back to Jersey. And you're not, those things are not there. And then of course you've got everybody, you know, that drinking alcohol is down, but it's not in a vacuum. It's not like everyone's clean and sober. The other things have taken its place. And then nobody's very social anymore because you don't want to be caught on somebody's smartphone saying something silly. Because, you know, when keggers, we would do keggers out in the woods or whatever. The movie Dazed and Confused, it should be, it's a documentary for you know, it really is. Because that's how, what we all did. Or at the skating rink, and you were always gathering with your friends, and you just don't see that anymore. I mean, I spent more time at Skate Palace and Skateland or Cruising the Gut. And it's just sad that all of this is going away. And so you've got the generation that sort of built this country, the generations are being technologically siloed right out of it.
Well, I see it on Friday nights. Go to some high school games. When I was in high school, it didn't matter what clique you were in, what you did after the game. You could go home and play No Friendo or a Nintendo. Sorry. You could go, you know, you're going out to a house party. You're going whatever you're doing. Everyone was at that football game on Friday night and then dispersed from there. You go to some of these high school football games tonight, especially around Salem, and I'm not seeing a huge student body turnout. And I'm going, it's the bonding time. It's the excitement of supporting your school. It's not about the sport. It's not about wins and losses for a lot of these kids. It's about being out there, being social, and seeing the pride in your school and your community.
That was the only time I ever cared about football was when I was, you know, a junior and a senior at South Salem High School, go Saxons. And we would go to the dances. I mean, it's really, it makes me very sad for this kid. And COVID did a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
COVID. Shutting down schools in Oregon. Yeah. Killed a lot of this. Oh, and I'll never forget that ever. Don't ever memory hole that.
No. And that's the thing is so much of what we're dealing with today is the output of what we went through during COVID. And they sped it up because it was all heading in this direction.
Right.
COVID just put the pedal to the metal and accelerated it where they now they had an excuse to kick parents out and to not be there supporting the kids and doing things like school dances every night after. I'm sitting there going, juniors and seniors never went to these school dances after a football game, but the freshman and sophomore did.
Yeah.
And now they're bought in for 4 years at your high school and excited to be out there on Friday night watching their team play.
Exactly.
We've given really up so much of these
we
things.
Have. We really
for
have.
Technology.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Well, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Thanks for hanging out with us today. There's no app for going outside and pitching some grass. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.